Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ah-ha-ha-ha.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bit Season. This is episode 131. I'm Draft T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Hope everyone's having a great week. It is first round of the U.S. Open, if you didn't notice from the chunks today.
It was a lot of, it's been a heavy golf week on the show. I will say that. Very heavy. I want to put this out there. I am not the one spearheading the overwhelming golf talk on the show. I love golf. You know I love golf. I like to think I'm the golf expert.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think I play the most. I'm obsessed with it.
You are.
But I know golf's lane on the show, and I know it's not the inside track. I know our listeners don't get sized for every segment revolving around golf.
I think you were a little foggy with your radio instincts earlier this week because we were talking about, I think, the golf pool. And then somehow you start talking about stamps and all kinds of like nerdy golf stuff. And I'm sitting across from you listening to you. It was a foreign language. I had no idea what you were saying. You were trying to sell the guys on the course and how difficult it was going to be and the putting. And I was like, he could be speaking
Farsi.
Croatian right now. Like, I don't know that's a language. I have no idea what he's saying. And then it was so golf geeky for about 2 minutes there, and led by Matt Myers.
Hey, I will say this. I don't initiate golf talk on the show. Mm. I've made that my sole purpose. It's not. Trust me, I could talk golf for 4 hours. I could. If you like golf and you corner me at a bar or somewhere. I will listen to you talk golf for 4 hours, but I know that's not the show's role. And I do not initiate, but when the conversation gets going, I am willing
you
to
get fired
add,
up.
I am willing to add to the conversation.
Well, I think it started with the golf pool, and Jason kept saying all week, the producers want to change the rules. Look, I know no one cares about the golf pool, but it's kind of entertaining to us, and it doesn't take up that much time. The stuff that people complain about on the show, and a lot of it is golf stuff, but we try to limit it so it doesn't take up a lot of time. And people always say, like, oh, you guys talk so much golf, and another golf. We do a golf pool four times a year for four segments a year.
Right.
We get a kick out of it. It's kind of fun. We put some money on the line.
We're trying to make it more entertaining and give you a reason to care about it. And I know you guys don't want us to break down the course of Pinehurst and tell you why number three is a hard hole. I get that. But we're trying to do what we can to make it entertaining, which is why we put our bet on Tiger Woods. I knew Tiger was teeing off at 7:29 today. And I know the majority of people don't care about Tiger Woods. But you know what? They care about us failing or losing a bet.
Hey,
that's what we're trying to do.
If you were sitting closer to me, Valdez, I'd pat you on the back right now because I thought that was great radio instincts.
Oh, thank you.
On the comeback later in the week by you by bringing up the Tiger bet because people, you're right, love to see us miserable and don't want us to be happy, or they maybe even want to root for us. But you got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Especially Tiger Woods golf. Just give me a score.
Yeah. Look, I knew, this happened in Lanham, I want to think. But CK reamed me out Thursday or Friday because I brought in my Apple TV and we were watching the Masters. And it
in the middle of the show,
and it distracted the junks.
Don't you still do that?
What?
Don't you still do that? You bring in your Roku?
I do, but that's at my TV.
Okay, they can't see it.
Yeah, the guys can't see it in the studio. So instead of, I guess, trying to make it into something. That's all I'm trying to do. And I knew the guys would be distracted by Tiger today. But instead of them just jumping around each topic and then all of a sudden saying, "Oh, Tiger's got a part put here," I decided that we needed to lean in on it and have a bet and have people care about it instead of them giving play by play. Steve Sands gives play by play of Tiger and what he's doing. The junk, that's not the junk's job.
I know, but we'll never break them out of that.
I know.
It is what it is. We have to accept it. EB and Lurch, you're going to get distracted by somebody going for a birdie.
Right. And I knew that going in.
It will destroy a topic. It will destroy anything we have planned.
It did. I mean, Cakes was in the middle of what I thought was a good show topic about destinations that people don't want to vacation to. And I thought, that's relevant in the summer. And, you know, the guys have been to Jacksonville. Jason's been to Colorado Springs. I thought it was a very relevant topic. And Cakes, I guess, you know, that might be my tilt of the week. Cakes started the segment and then got interrupted by Jason about Tiger missing a par putt.
Wrong. That was not your tilt of the week. I already know your tilt of the
week. What's my tilt of the week?
Because I remember it from Monday or Tuesday. You were upset at John Paul Flame for his snarky attitude to Uber drivers and him thinking that Uber drivers is an embarrassment as a profession.
you know, that really ricked you, and I picked up on that. You have a great memory. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, who were they? Oh, they were talking about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe.
Ipe, yeah.
So I guess Ipe, who is trying to earn some extra money, pay some legal bills like Kevin Spacey.
While he's waiting for sentencing.
while he's waiting for sentencing, was going to do Uber. He was going to do Uber Eats. He was delivering Uber Eats as a means of income. And JP was snarky and dismissive of Ipe delivering food to people. And it just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, Ipe could have, you know, he's famous enough where he could do cameos. He could do a GoFundMe. He could, you know what I mean?
Hey, can I tell you something? Why isn't Ipe starting a Discord and giving out?
Yes, Ipe, he could be
a Twitter account.
He could be Stu Finer.
Yes.
He could be Vegas Dave. He could be a handicapper. You know what I mean?
That's the thing.
One of the scamdy cappers.
I know, he's such a loser that everyone, but it doesn't matter.
But he could just sell it as,
he's a big name.
Yes, Fade My Plays.
Yeah.
Tim Donaghy had a whole betting service.
Right.
I know. He could have done the same. But you know what? He was working hard to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And he just got mocked for it by JP. And look, I get it. There's no glory in delivering food to people.
Well,
it's not a glamorous job. And to be honest, if you're an interpreter for a major league superstar in a major league team and going from that to an Uber Eats driver, yeah, all right, it's falling off a cliff. But I respected Ipe for at least trying to make money an honest buck
well,
in America.
I'm going to defend John Paul here for a second and say that I think he was just snickering at his fall from grace. That he was in the dugout with Shohei, living the L.A. luxury lifestyle.
He had a rock star life.
Now he's working for $12 an hour or whatever it is.
But this is how I thought about it, too, is that, and I guess this is what ricked me. This is what made it the tilt of the week,
mm-hmm.
is that the Junks made their bones, all right, made their living off of pizza delivery drivers during the nighttime in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's how they built their core audience.
I mean, that was a core audience. You know how many people, I've had hundreds of people come up to me and say, "Hey, I used to listen to the Junks all the time when I was, you know, 20 years old delivering pizza for Domino's."
So you think the JP's forgotten who he is,
comes
from?
Yes, he's forgetting his roots.
I could see that.
That's what really pissed me off about it.
How long were you mad for? I saw you stewing for at least 30 minutes or so.
About 31 minutes.
Yeah, okay, all right, then you got over it.
This is all, and deep down, this is what also kind of ricked me, is that I identify with the Uber Eats drivers. And the fact that I identify with Ipe. Because I don't really have a skill set. And I think
it always comes back to Valdez not having any confidence in himself.
At the end of the day, I'm going to be delivering Uber Eats down in Hilton Head when the junks move on and retire.
Yeah. Or when you've had enough, and you're I can't take this another day.
Yes,
that's your backup.
Yeah, that's my backup plan. Uber Eats by day, pour beers by night.
Well, just know if that happens, John Paul will be snickering behind your back.
I know, and I don't want JP laughing at my demise.
There's one thing that I wanted to bring up here that we didn't have on the rundown, and honestly, I don't even know if we should talk about it, and maybe you'll say, Drab, don't talk about this, but I want to talk about Blue Shorts' open line Thursday call today.
Oh, my God.
And you honestly would have to almost, I think, hear it live because it was cut out of the podcast. And what I want to say is I love Blue Shorts, and he's a great guy.
I think we all love Blue Shorts.
If you don't know Blue Shorts, he worked for the radio station for about 15 years, started as an intern, and worked on the digital side for about a decade, over a decade. I don't want to insult him, but I don't know the exact amount of time. But
he was a bigwig in the digital department.
But he was also a Junks character. He would come around, especially pre-COVID. He was always around. And then after that, he worked from home and then
kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Was laid off eventually. And Shorts is doing great. He's loving his life. He's working construction and he's loving it. He's a contractor. So he's doing remodeling and all that kind of stuff. And he's learning a lot. And I'm super proud of him, actually. Mm-hmm. That being said, he's lost his radio fastball. First off, I feel like the call today was a repeat of last year's segment when he had nothing.
Yeah.
when he called in during the Junkies month and he had nothing to say. And today he called in and he had nothing to say. And it was Shorts. I don't know much, but I know what makes an interesting call. You have to think about your call for a couple minutes before you call in and have a topic or have something that you think they will find interesting. Just calling in and plugging. You sound like Big John. You're just calling in to plug something. You should have had a topic or a discussion or something that would have caught their eye or a story.
Or an observation from Jason's appearance on the show or a retort. Because Jason said how he thought the interview was weird and everything like that.
And
have a back and forth.
And the reason why you didn't Blue Shorts' call completely cut out of the podcast?
I just told
portion of it.
I told Mar to snip it.
Okay. Shorts thought it would be a good idea. They're talking about what hypotheticals did you ask Jason on your podcast? And look, your podcast, you talk about whatever you want.
Policing your content on IDM.
It's called IDM It Doesn't Matter podcast. Search them out on social media. They're having a lot of fun and
it's a fun show.
Great.
I've done it. Yeah. I've done it multiple times. So I have a lot of fun when I do
it. If you guys want to talk about inappropriate content behind a paywall, and when I mean inappropriate content, I mean things you cannot say publicly in 2024 or any time after the last 15 years or so, 10 years, keep it to your podcast. Don't come on the big stick and start talking about who would you rather have sex with, this ugly person or that transsexual or whatever the hell he was talking about. I mean, you're trying to put the Junkies in a horrible light and make them get fired. But what do you want Jason to say? No, I wouldn't have sex with this person who's transitioning. That's disgusting. Like, what? That was it was brain dead behavior from Blue Shorts. Our job is to protect the guys from getting fired. That's what we had to do, and we had to dump Blue Shorts and cut it out of the podcast today. Because if people hear that, they will associate the Junkies with being bigots, not Blue Shorts.
Yeah, the Junkies have more to lose than Blue Shorts.
Blue Shorts has nothing to lose. He lost it all already.
But this is the hard part about the job is that he does his hypothetical.
What was hypothetical? Explain it to the audience because I didn't hear it exactly.
So the guys, Jason complained that he thought the hypotheticals were weird and awkward.
And so the
guys asked Blue Shorts on air. They said, what were some of the, what was the hypothetical that was so awkward for Jason? And Blue Shorts answered,
Hold on. That's where Blue Shorts had to be thinking on his feet.
He was sleepy.
He was
asleep at the wheel.
Should have come up with something funny or a different way to say it. He knows he can't say.
No. It's not about cursing. Blue Shorts did a fine.
No, content.
I know. It was the content that was the problem. But he asked Jason if he would rather have sex with Bailey J.
Okay, who's okay. Bailey J?
At first I didn't know, but I believe that's a transsexual,
a known male to female transsexual.
Yes,
it's attractive.
Yes, that's attractive.
Okay.
And then on the other end, it was another person who was female to male transsexual. So,
I mean, what? First of all, what? I'm actually going to poke my nose in their podcast. Why are you guys doing those topics? Like, you guys can come up with something better than that.
What
transitioning person do you want to have sex with?
And by the way, it's also a recycle.
I know, because they asked me the same question.
Yes, I know, and it took me about 5 minutes to realize the hypothetical within itself.
So
and
then once I realized it, is that their bit?
I don't know. That might be their show staple.
Their show wants to be known for who would you rather have sex with?
That's their game show Wednesday.
I'm going to be honest. You guys know better. You guys are, and I'm not even talking from what's inappropriate, from a content perspective of what's.
Well, they should know. They should know how their podcast is in the Wild West.
You're behind a paywall.
Our show is not the Wild West. There are parameters. There are people out there trying to fire us.
Every day on this show, people are trying to fire us.
Every day, there is someone scouring the show trying to fire the junkies.
So Blue Shorts calls in during a commander segment about Jane Daniels. Strike one. Strike two, he calls in 30 minutes before Mayor Bowser comes on. Okay? The liberal mayor of D.C. who, in the middle of Pride Month.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Oh, he closed with Pride shtick, too. About the month of June keys and having pride for that.
It's just a bad thing.
It was bad. It was bad. You got to think on your feet. You know what? Here, ask me. I'm Blue Shorts. I'm calling him. They go, hey, Blue Shorts, what are some of the
I'll be Bickle. All right. What's going on? Jason was saying the other day that you guys asked him some weird hypothetical when he was a guest on your show. What kind of questions did you guys ask? What was that about?
Oh, my God. On IDM, we are crazy. We put Jason in an awkward spot. You really should listen to the show. To be honest with you, it's not for air. This is an uncensored podcast that I think your listeners would love.
Oh, that's very intriguing. How can I listen to this?
Blue Shorts? Go to It Doesn't Matter on Instagram and on Twitter, and you can see the clips of Jason answering some of these provocative questions. To be honest with you, he's more out of his shell on our show than he is on yours. We got him talking for 30 minutes straight, and that's hard to do on the junkies.
Perfect answer. Yeah. Shorts, you put us in a bad spot. And I know Valdez fired off some angry texts to you. I honestly got your back on that.
I don't want to kick you while you're down.
No, let's kick him. This is what
we had to rub the nose on the pee stain in the carpet.
Yeah, it's really what you had to do. I mean, just honestly,
we like
poor prep.
We like promoting
brain
you.
Dead on your feet thinking.
When it comes to Blue Shorts and when it comes to Othello, I don't want to lump Othello into this because I feel like he would have more sense than Blue Shorts.
I'm not sure. I love Othello. It's my guy. I might be hanging out with him this weekend. I'm not sure about that. Judging from what their topic is, it seems like every show they're talking about what transsexual you'd want to have sex with. Not sure if all cylinders are firing between those guys.
But we have to treat you like callers now. Like we give you enough rope, we give you enough leash that we figure you guys are heady enough to come on air. But no, we got to treat you like Mo from Largo and prep you to get on air.
You know what, Shorts? Go back to the 8:20 segment. I want you to listen to Paul who called in. Paul, who is a sports caller, who had strong opinions, who was angry. He had something to say. He was angry about the housing in D.C. and how he felt Mayor Bowser was lying to the public about it. Great call for a sports radio station. Take notes, and then that's how you call into the junkies. You need some work.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do the IDM show, because I'll probably end up being a guest at some point.
No, I'm probably banned.
Now, and I'm sure this will come up.
Check them out. They are funny guys, and they have good chemistry. Check them out. It doesn't matter on iTunes.
I was disappointed.
Let down. It was Big John, and they let him on. He had nothing to say. It should have been in and out. You should have hung up on him like Big John.
If he wanted to promote, if the whole point of promoting the show was promoting the show, then just say, "Hey, I come on, apologize to Jason for putting him in an awkward spot."
Right.
Make your zing about reminding EB.
Should we promote
the show, and then boom, you're off.
Should we? I guess we can't ban them, but
no, we have to screen them.
No. Should the junkies be allowed to go on their podcast?
I don't know.
Can we trust Shorts and Othello at this point? Doesn't seem like it, to not get the junkies fired for something they say on their podcast. Because Bickle or JP will be fine. They're going to ask the same questions to Bickle and get him to say something inappropriate. And we all know now Bickle's got no filter.
Jason and Eric would be my biggest concerns. If we can dodge those bullets, then I think we'd be fine.
Right. Help me help you, Shorts and Othello.
Yeah, we were mad. We're not mad anymore. We're kind of just disappointed. We'll be mad when we get fired.
I'm mildly Rick. Mostly that he had nothing to say when he called in.
Doesn't Blue Shorts have a track record with content hurting DJs?
Yes. I guess we won't go to that either. But no. Blue Shorts has tried to get multiple people fired over the years. Now he'll be offended that I said that, but that almost did happen.
But it's not like he did it not on purpose. Just want to say that. Not on purpose. Like, I don't think, Shorts wasn't trying to put the guys in a bad spot on purpose today. He wasn't prepared.
Right.
And then he has to realize the different dynamic between the junk show, the current junk show, all right, and their podcast. They couldn't be more opposites.
Hey,
I know we have interlapping or overlapping listeners between all of our universe, but it's a different vibe. You know what I mean?
We got it.
It's different content.
All right. I want to talk to you about someone with actual radio talent and instincts.
Okay.
Me. All right. Okay. I want to be patted on the back. Are you? I don't really do fake bits on the show. Nobody likes fake bits or fake takes or anything like that. Right. But I feel like I've been running hot recently with some of my opinions on the show and engaging people to think on the show, right?
All right. So here's
just in the last few days arguments that I've had on the show.
Okay.
All right. Not our show, the big show.
You've had a hot shoe.
I've had a hot shoe. I feel like I've been
hitting Jack's coming out the yin yang.
You think I'm an idiot? Everyone listening thinks Drab's an idiot. Okay, that's fine.
I know you're not an idiot.
But I'm trying to either make you think or make you laugh. One of the two. All right.
Okay.
Because somewhere rattling around in my skull is these thoughts that I don't necessarily have them. Panned out, right? The Shorts conversation. I'm backed into a corner now that I'm not supposed to wear shorts ever again because
I saw you in shorts yesterday.
Don't you guys listen at the beginning of these segments when I say something to the effect of, I don't know if I even believe this myself.
I know. I said
it's
that,
just something I'm thinking about.
I said that one or two shows ago.
I know, but
I said you've pigeonholed yourself.
I know, but I did a repost of us playing golf yesterday on my IG and I'm getting messages. Oh nice shorts. Drab, thought you weren't allowed to wear shorts.
Hey, that makes me so happy.
Now I'm going to be irritated forever from that. All right, so I'm engaging people about shorts, and then you put me on the spot
about beards.
Drab's a fat shamer. He thinks beards are for fat people only. He's so good looking, he couldn't possibly have a beard. That's basically what you were saying.
Yeah,
he thinks he's so good looking. I was going back and forth with Cakes about how pears are a silly superior fruit, and how Cakes
else.
Is nub for having peaches. And I got people thinking about what their favorite fruits were. And then I had a mini rant about dumb St. Louis Cardinal fans and how they're applauding Paul Skeens and how you're stupid if you're cheering for a division rival player.
Yeah,
I think I've been
I'm
lubricated. Like I'm just all gears are just in sync with each other.
Cakes are
days.
Just coming out of every. Yeah. Orifice.
I feel like it's engaging the other guys on the show, and that doesn't include the Tiger Woods thing either. But that was a joint effort.
No, you're doing a great job.
Am I fishing for compliments?
Do you want to borrow Eric's back padding machine?
It's bit season. It's our time to have a little bit more fun. Be silly, goofy. Say dumb things on the show. Kill some time.
No, well, although I can't, I'll give you credit, but I can't give you too much credit because, I mean, all you're doing is having an opinion.
Well, that's all we want.
I know.
I mean, as I said before, someone's gotta. Right?
Yeah. And that, you know what, that reminds me. You know, I've been very Rick at the Junks this week.
Hmm. Well, you're mad at JP.
I know, and I'm mad at Jason, too.
All right.
Because,
is this going to get us in trouble? Are we going to get blowback from your take?
No. But like Jason is going like, the guys behind the glass. Who would have thought they care more about the hot dog eating contest than the Super Bowl? No, Jason, it's pop culture. Yeah. We're supposed to have an opinion about something. That's the whole point of the show. Trust me, there's a bunch of crap that I don't care about. But do you honestly believe, Drab, that I give two craps about the hot dog eating contest?
You don't?
I mean, I care, but it's not the end of the world. Do you think I care about the NBA finals?
No, I think you care more about the hot dog eating contest than the NBA finals. At least I thought you did until a moment ago.
I mean, I probably do. In terms of my hierarchy, I do, but I can formulate an opinion about the NBA finals about something I don't care about. That's the whole point of the show.
Nothing is that serious, but I don't know if it's an age gap thing or what, but I feel like us millennials are locked into the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I've always been a fan.
It's always been a big part of our childhood.
I think, you know, it kind of blew up very early 2000s or maybe even late 90s when Kobayashi was in the hot dog eating contest, and he came out of nowhere and took the world by storm and blew the doors off everyone with how many hot dogs he ate, right? And so I think maybe that's why I got into it so early, and maybe the junkies just missed that boat. You know how we always talk about things on the show like TGIF, and the junkies have no idea what we're talking about because they're just too old?
Yeah.
Maybe the hot dog eating contest is one of those things. They just missed it because
the
four of them have less than zero interest. Well, Cakes has some. I'll give Cakes some, or at least he's pretending to have some. The three of the other guys have no interest. I don't understand.
I know, but isn't that part of the job, faking interest in something, having an opinion, faking interest?
Not, I don't like that word, faking. It's working up a lather. Okay, you got to, EB always says, you got to work up a lather towards topics. It's not that you're sitting at home and thinking, I got to come in. But once you start discussing something and then you're like, I kind of feel this way.
Yeah,
let me lean into this a little bit. See how I feel.
You formulate an opinion. You formulate a take. I hate the word take, though. You formulate some sort of enthusiasm for something.
I just don't know who's sitting around on Independence Day not watching the hot dog eating contest. It's last year I was home in Spokane, Washington on July 4th. That means I got to get up extra early and be locked in 9 a.m. hot dog eating contest over there.
9 a.m.
You think I missed it? No. That is, to me, as American as the NBA and Knicks are on Christmas Day, is the hot dog eating contest on July 4th.
I know, but there's so many layers to this, too. That's what really grinded my gears, is that there's so many layers to this that you could have attached yourself to. There's the hot dog eating contest itself. There's competitive eating. There's the whole impossible meat angle that you can do. The whole watching on July 4th angle. There's so many angles that you can pick from this story to just be oh man, they really care about this. No, not really. We're finding something about the story we find interesting and kind of being enthusiastic about it.
Watching guys be gluttonous and the possibility of death is always intriguing.
Right. There's always the one outer that Badlands Booker is going to choke on a hot dog.
I'll even watch these scabs that are coming in on July 4th this year. These no-name losers that will eat 25 hot dogs.
Yes.
Because it's tradition.
Yes, when I see Rusty Walnut, the Joey Chestnut knockoff, I will be sized.
All right.
And I'll probably watch the dumb Netflix one, too.
Oh, do you understand that I'm a Kobayashi stan? I don't even like Joey Chestnut. I've never liked Joey Chestnut. In fact, I root for him to lose every year. This is why. I root for greatness. EB stole that from me.
Yeah.
I root for greatness. Kobayashi, to me, was the original legend. He was the icon. I didn't like Joey Chestnut from the very beginning because he knocked Kobayashi off his perch. And so Kobayashi was...
Kobayashi's the OG, by the way.
Kobayashi's Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Joey Chestnut, Hank Aaron. That's why, okay. So right. I like the original icon. I don't like the newcomer breaking records. So I will be rooting for Kobayashi on Labor Day.
So you're gonna watch Nathan's and also watch.
I'll watch them all. You think I got anything going on? I got nothing.
Hey, do you think competitive eating can blow up? Kind of.
No,
like,
it's already had its chance. I mean, they've had two mega superstars blowing the competition away, and it's never really gotten that big. I mean, it's gotten big enough where those guys can make a living off of it and make sponsorship money. I mean, I'm sure Joey Chestnut's worth a few million bucks. I don't know how much Eater X is worth.
Yeah, how much do these guys get for an appearance fee to go do like an oyster eating contest?
I remember reading like 10 years ago that Joey Chestnut made $100,000 a year.
Oof.
But that was like 10 years ago, and I'm sure
it's going
with his
up.
Social media.
I think Nathan's it came out and they said they paid him $200,000 for an appearance fee.
I don't know why I'm searching Eric Booker, Badland Booker's net worth when there's nothing more inaccurate on the internet besides golfmagic.com than searching out someone's net worth.
Yes. Eric
Badland's Booker net worth $3.5 million. God, I'm gonna kill myself.
Hey, what food or drink could you do competitive eating wise?
I cannot anymore. I also have had my own dalliances in competitive eating, and they did not turn out well.
Oh, explain.
So I've had two circumstances where I was put on the spot.
Okay.
Once at a Caps game.
Oh, all right.
Is that where Cakes was at? Where was Cakes' hot dog eating contest?
No, Cakes was in studio.
Okay, no. I was on the big screen. I was on the Jumbotron at Cap One Arena.
Is this when you worked at the station or were you just...
No, this is embarrassing. I was on a platform, like a up by the concourse,
all
right? During intermission.
The mezzanine.
Mezzanine. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm still a little bit sick. I'm getting better. They had a celebrity hot dog eating contest. This is like 2010.
Celebrity?
Maybe not even. Yeah, 2009.
How do I not remember this?
A celebrity. Very.
Very loosely. Yeah. Hold on. You were not working on the Junks at that time.
No, I believe I was LeVar and Dukes' producer.
Okay.
It may have even been Big on Dukes. I can't really remember the exact date.
But
I'm up on the mezzanine halftime. 4-minute hot dog eating contest.
Okay.
Me, there's like 6-7 guys up there. The only other person I remember up there is my producing rival at the time.
Mm.
Flounder from Elliot in the Morning.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
God, does Flounder still work with Elliot?
No, I don't think so. I know him. He knows me. All right? Mano y mano.
Did you guys say hi?
Two radio icons.
The two F-less celebrities. And I haven't heard the name Flounder in ages.
Let me tell you something. Flounder. He did what I did to Eric Bickle with that fish. Flounder bent me over and slapped my ass with that big fish because... I, in 4 minutes, in front of 20,000 people, ate two hot dogs.
Are you kidding?
2.5 hot dogs. It was so embarrassing.
That is Flounder so disappointing.
Flounder ate like 9 or something like that.
Were you dunking? And
No. They were cold hot dogs.
Oh, so they're gross.
It threw me off my game.
Ew.
But that is when I realized I am not a speed eater. So I rebranded myself. All right. The only reason I was in this dumb contest is because I was talking about how much I could eat. I had a great rebranding. Okay. I rebranded myself as the bottomless pit.
Okay. That's a great pivot. Right. That's a great pivot.
Not a speed eater.
Yes.
But I could eat for days.
Graze. You could graze for days.
I used the phrase, I've never been full. and then people were talking about it, and there was chit chat. And so one day I my whole Jerry Seinfeld, I choose not to run.
Yeah, yeah,
I dodged all these. I know I was a big phony, but that was my line.
Yeah. You couldn't get cornered in your lie.
So one day, this is probably 2011, a couple years later, Chad Dukes had enough of me calling myself the bottomless pit.
Yes. Yeah, you were getting a lot of attention and a lot of glory for your empty stomach.
Glory, we were doing a side podcast at this point in Chad Dukes' basement. But we had a lot of listeners on Big on Dukes.
Yeah, very successful.
I got called out by Dick Smokan. Dick Smokan is 6'4", 130 pounds. String bean. Yeah. And he goes, I challenge you to a family-size Dorito and nacho cheese eating contest.
Cool.
Right? You know.
That sounds like an old-school Western duel.
It was a duel. Let me tell you something. That little pansy, he once again bent me over and spanked my bottom. I could barely get 20 chips down. I don't know what was going on. This guy, it was like a goat or something. I don't understand. The guy just kept just go,
it was shoving non, chips down
just
his
shoving.
Face.
It wasn't his speed. It was just methodical. I mean, this guy finished the bag. I probably had finished a quarter of the bag at that point. And I was full. I was called out, and the gig was up, Valdi. So I am now a 2-time loser in competitive eating contest.
You got caught with your pants down.
Yeah, but hey, isn't that a great rebrand the bottomless pit?
Yeah, no. It'd be like, you know, if you can't hit the golf ball, I'm a great putter.
I'm a great putter. Yeah.
Just like I said, more golf talk. Hey, by the way, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the surge in adult sleepovers. Okay. But before we do that, we got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. I'm enjoying one right now. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports the Junks, supports AWOD. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Bit Season for 10% off every order, not just your first. Every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 131. I'm FLDs with Drab T-shirt. We tease going into break about the rise in popularity of adult sleepovers. Now, this isn't any kind of study. This is just something that I noticed. And this is basically what KFC from Barstool was doing. I know Drab loves his one-minute things that he posts on TikTok and Instagram. Yes, you bring them up all the time.
I've seen. I actually don't even know what this adult sleepovers thing is. So I know that you were starting to tell me about it, and I said, stop, wait till the show, because I want to hear your pitch on the show.
Okay.
About why, because you are clearly excited for adult sleepovers.
No.
You're just excited for the discussion.
I'm excited for the discussion, just because it's something that you grow out of. And I don't know. It was just weird how KFC from Barstool was kind of, hyping them up. But anyways, Kai Cenat, Drewski, and Kevin Hart.
Now, I have seen that, and I saw that they were splashing water on each other, on whoever fell asleep first.
Yeah.
I don't understand that whole Kevin Hart thing. Like, why is he hanging out with those young kids?
That's also another thing that I wanted to wanted to dovetail to. But anyways, so I think... Kai and Kevin, they had something that if they reached some sort of number of likes on a video, they would do a sleepover.
Okay.
A slumber party.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they reached the number and they finally got it scheduled, and they basically live streamed all night. They're doing bits. They brought in show characters. They had, what's his name, Roll Tide Willie there.
Mm-hmm. Saw him.
They had a bunch of other characters there just doing a bunch of shtick. And number one, props to them. Because to film yourself that long, you know what I mean? Don't you think you would just run out of stuff to do?
Oh, I don't think they're got a bunch of topics planned. I think they're
reading
comments a lot of times.
Like it makes me curious. Like how? Like I didn't watch it live. I watched a lot of the clips.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is you have some sort of producer in the background. Kind of clipping, like watching, taking shifts watching it and kind of bookmarking or taking notes on, mm-hmm. on stuff that they could turn into videos. That's at least how I think it goes down. But anyways, allowing to stream yourself that long and to try and be entertaining for that amount of time, it almost reminded me of the Dysfunctional Family Friday that the station did, mm-hmm. when they were WJFK at Fairfax.
Wow, what were the hours of that? Was it from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
It was
the whole show, everybody on the station?
It was everyone on the station, mm-hmm. from 6 a.m. until, 6 p.m. No. Might have been until later, till 8.
Yeah, it may have been the night show, too. It may have been till 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So it just reminded me of that, and just kind of having to be on for that long. And that's hard to do, and so I want to give kudos for that. But what I noticed from that was KFC talking about adult sleepovers and how cool they are, how awesome it would be to
bring them back.
Yeah, to bring them back, because he said at the age that we are now, you crash at a person's house. Like if you're drinking or if you're spending a weekend there, you crash at a person's house. Mm-hmm. You're not in the same room sleeping together. And it was just a weird thing that he was trying to bring back. And I didn't know if I was going to be all for it. I don't know if I'm for it or against it. Like, I understand how it could be funny and as a one-off.
I don't understand how you're not for adult sleepovers. You just had an adult sleepover.
What do you mean?
A week ago. You took a guy's trip. You and a bunch of guys had a sleepover and then played golf for 4 days straight and then hung out.
No. That is completely different.
We're splitting hairs here, Valdez.
No. You
had an adult sleepover with 31 of your best friends last week.
No.
That's not an adult sleepover.
That is, you have your own room. Adult sleepover is basically everyone's in the same room in sleeping bags or blow up mattresses and doing shenanigans.
You had 31 different rooms at this place. Everyone had their own room.
Everyone had their own bed.
You didn't share a room.
Did you share a room? No, I had my own bed.
You had your own room.
It was my own bed.
I thought I heard you say something about, I'm the last one there. I'm going to get the couch. I thought I heard you say something like that.
No, you're making stuff up.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I swear you said something like that.
You're making stuff up.
Was that the previous trip that you took?
No.
To Kiowa with four or five buddies?
No, I had my own room for that as well.
Okay.
When you're an adult, you have your own room. But the whole thing is, everyone's supposed to be congregated in the same area. That's the whole point of the adult sleepover.
I'm being honest, sounds a lot of fun.
What, an adult sleepover?
An adult sleepover. Now, I've only had one of these recently, and recently it was probably 5 years ago. A listener came over to my house, a random listener from Big O and Duke's that I didn't know, won a contest. The contest was sleepover at Drab's house. I slept in the living room with him. My wife was there. My dog was there. Everybody slept in the main room. It was weird. It was a radio bit.
Right?
We were creating content.
Did you have to screen the dude before he came over?
I think we, if I remember right, we picked a name out of a hat, but he was a very attractive male. Cuban Steve is what we call him. All right, so meet Cuban Steve. It didn't turn out too well. It turned out he was a rat for Dukes, and
he was there on reconnaissance.
So, you know, he sold me out. He like talked trash about me after the sleepover and stuff. It kind of actually the whole thing
blew up in your face.
Me and now it turned me off to adult sleepovers.
Hey, well, hold on. What did he rat you out on? Like how messy your place was?
Yeah. He took shots at my house. He took shots at like excited my wife was for our dog, you know.
Well, what's the problem there?
I don't really know. I don't remember all the details.
He was fishing for content.
He was fishing for content. He was talking about Drab and my wife and my dog to Dukes. So the whole thing kind of soured me a little bit.
So he basically, he tried to use your sleepover as a stepping stone to Dukes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
You know, that's smart, well played.
But in theory, I actually am in love with the idea of adult sleepovers. And in fact, everyone's sleeping in the same room, Baldies. Earlier this week, Jason...
I just want to say that's what constitutes a sleepover. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make me...
Catch you in something?
Yeah, you're trying to catch me. You're doing gotcha questions.
All right, I'll give it to you. That was a boy's trip.
Yes, boy's trip
is different than a sleepover.
Completely different than sleepover. Sleepover is like... It has the assumption that like you're staying up all night. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got it. All right, first thing I'm trying to say is I want to bring sleeping bags back. My entire life, I've been a fan of sleeping bags.
I find them very comfortable.
I don't know why we no longer sleep in them. It's embarrassing to sleep in them. As a kid, I have a lot of brothers, I have a sister, we had big families. And so whenever we would go to like my grandparents' house and stay the night, there's too many people there. Old Drabby would
sleep
on the carpet with a sleeping bag. And I actually have fond memories of that. I'll sleep like a baby in a sleeping bag. So the idea of me and some buddies, me, you, Cork,
Clary,
whoever.
Michael Moore.
We all getting together. We put on a scary movie. No porn.
Yeah,
right?
No porn.
That's just too weird. I've done that with buddies before in the same room. It's always a little weird.
Yeah, I know. We did that with the Pirates movie. Yeah, I know. Did you do sleepovers with friends? That was always a Pasadena birthday party.
What other sleepover would you have?
No, like for a birthday party. It's a sleepover party.
Well, maybe, but to me, sleepovers are always a last minute thing. Hey, can I stay the night? You know, after a play date or something like that at your buddy's house, you just want to stay late. And they were sleepovers were so exhilarating to me because my parents were so strict. Right, I didn't get to stay up late.
Get to see how other people live.
The other half, the other 99%. I didn't get to I didn't have to go to bed that early, but I never got to stay up to like 1 or 2 o'clock. I didn't have cable TV. Oh. I didn't have video game consoles. I had none of that stuff. So I was like a kid in a candy store when at these sleepovers. I would go berserk. I would stay up all night playing video Duck Hunt or Blades of Steel or whatever it was.
Did you, when you were a kid, how old were you? Like,
my parents were.
I would say sleepovers kind of stopped like around 12, 13.
Through middle school, because I remember I was in seventh grade. I remember staying the night at somebody's house because I had a girlfriend. No, yeah, that was eighth grade. So at least through eighth grade, I was doing sleepovers.
Yeah, I know. It kind of. Sleepovers morphed into like stay the night. You know what I mean? No one used the word sleepover like when all of a sudden when you got into high school. Like when you hit puberty, the word sleepover just vanished. It's because it has just a boyish ring to it.
Yeah. There's, you know, maybe drinking involved or something like that.
Once you start raiding your parents' liquor cabinet, the word sleepover
is gone.
Yes. Yeah. It's gone. The word sleepover is gone. It's a crash.
All right. Maybe I want you to sell me on an adult sleepover.
Okay. Number one, you need to find a good crew.
Mm-hmm. Are we sleeping at your house?
We sleep at like Cakes' house.
Okay.
Because he has like the food. No, you need to sleep over at Eric's house.
At Bickle's.
Bickle's house. Okay. He has, all right, so he has the theater room.
He's got
the
toys.
Yes, he has the theater room, right? He has the ping pong table that they use for folding laundry. He has the golf simulator. So you need a house.
Let's rank Junkie's houses for sleepovers. I think you might be right. I think EB jumps
Eric's
off
is number
the page.
One. He's got the toys. He's got the hot tub.
He's got the hot tub. He's got the theater room.
Yes. He's got it all.
He's got the golf setup.
All of the toys.
Okay. I know who's last.
Okay. My second would be Cakes.
I'm not sure I agree with that. My last is Bishop. Why? You can't have a sleepover, an all-night party if a guy goes to bed at 8 o'clock.
That's a very solid
point.
Big
fuddy-duddy. Of course, there would be drinking and we'd have fun. I'm not doing a 4 p.m. sleepover, right? We go all night. And Jason will be in bed. He's out. He's last. I'm still with Bickle number one. Cakes or JP?
JP might be number two because he has party experience.
No, JP is a great host. When I go to JP's house, we've discussed this. I stay late, 1 o'clock, and
he would be a great host. He'd be a great host.
He's a great host. He's got good food. He's got music taken care of. Now it's not necessarily like, oh, JP also has got too much machismo, and JP would want to go to sleep in his bed with his wife. I don't see JP getting in a sleeping bag with the boys.
Oh, you feel like he's like, all right, I'm retiring. I'm going to go up to the master bedroom.
Yeah. I'll
see you in the morning.
I'll see you guys in the morning. Yeah, he's not going to slum it down there with us and be one of the broskies, but he has a nice house. You know, he's got a good setup of stuff to do as well.
I could see that.
He's got a nice basement. He's got a bar in his basement.
So your ranking would be Eric, Cakes, JP, Jason.
No, Cakes is three. Cakes is
three.
That's
what I meant. JP, okay.
Here's why Cakes is three, and we all love Cakes. What are we going to do at his house? I've never heard one thing exciting come from Cakes' house. We're gonna watch a Caps game.
Oh, remember he has a basketball court in his backyard.
Yeah, but that's not a late night activity.
It could be get a floodlight.
What are we gonna do? We're gonna watch the Taylor Swift movie, make a friendship bracelet.
The Eras Tour.
what are we gonna do at Cakes' house?
That was a very underrated thing Cakes was talking about this week.
I know.
Flew under the radar that he has a friendship bracelet from his daughter.
I know. Well, we were building a comedy pyramid. I think JP splashed water on it. But JP's solid two, Cakes three, only because I have concerns about being entertained at Cakes' house.
But I feel like Cakes himself is the entertainment, right?
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
Everybody
will be in a good mood.
What would you rather have? The Cakes down there with you sleeping all night? Or JP,
Cakes will be
JP,
one of the boys.
Or JP being one of the, being an excellent host and then ditching you at night.
Oh, they're neck and neck, actually, now that you brought that up, because Cakes will stay up all night. He'll drink beers. Yes. Rom will be over there for the entertainment. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Hey,
am I right with Bishop being last?
Yeah, I think so.
Very nice house. You'll eat well. I want to get taken back to my childhood. I don't want to live like a rich suburbanite.
Did you have awesome sleeping bags when you were a kid?
Probably nubs. I don't know. I don't really remember.
I had.
There's no chance my parents were buying $150 sleeping bags. $20 flimsy thing. I'm sure.
No. They weren't awesome Coleman camping sleeping bags. I had a Bart Simpson sleeping bag.
Yeah. Like a Walmart one or something.
Yeah. And then there was a He-Man sleeping bag. And then.
I didn't do camping. We don't. We
no,
did.
No, no. These sleeping bags were
exclusively for sleeping on hardwood floors.
You'll get them at Toys R Us in the Glen Burnie Mall. They weren't something that you would have that you would take to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Like these were Nubs kids sleeping bags.
Who was your number one sleepover friend, and what made his house so exciting?
Kyle Timmy.
All right. Guy with two first names.
It's because his house was so nice.
Mm. Now, having a nice house is a big plus, but I don't think that's a make or break. I've had plenty of fun sleepover at Nubber houses.
Oh, when you're a little kid, when he has a drum set in his basement along with
drums. That's tough to beat.
With foosball. I mean, that was like, I felt like I was on the boardwalk and I was going into Marty's Playland.
Yeah. I had two friends that jump out at me. Patrick Bagelin, one of my best friends until he moved to Chicago in fifth grade. They were rich. And he was the very first person that I knew to have a dunk hoop.
Oh, dude.
Okay. So,
hey,
like,
that's a number one activity for sleepovers.
Nobody had those back in the day.
Is Nerf hoop that you would put at the top of the door and you would play 2-on-2 basketball. That is an ultimate sleepover game.
100%. We would record. We'd set up the camcorder, record our dunks, and then do SportsCenter hosting, and we did all kinds of videos.
I know.
A lot of fun. The other guy, Ryan Kautsky, I think I mentioned Ryan Kautsky before. His parents divorced.
So his dad would splurge?
Yeah, no. The house was questionable, but there was like literally no chaperoning going on. And so that was the house where you stayed up all night, endless sugar, drink Zimas probably. maybe not Zimas, but I do remember drinking Zimas at ass house. But it was a free-for-all. Like, you would literally stay up till 3 a.m. watching a couple sports centers in a row, being absolutely wrecked the next day.
But Kyle's house, BB gun with a scope.
Mm.
That's also another.
That's a lot of fun.
He also had basketball court, floodlight. He also had ATVs. He had it all.
You know what makes me sad? My house was never the sleepover house.
Neither was mine.
And I'm actually almost embarrassed. And we had a nice house, but I think my parents weren't fun.
No, that's
and there's too many siblings.
No, that's exactly what it is. Is that if I as a kid, I was embarrassed of my parents.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
Some people are, some people aren't. I was the type of person that thought my parents were uncool. So I sheltered them from my friends. Well, not sheltered them, but like, I never wanted any of them to spend the night. And we had a nice house for it.
My parents were just too strict.
I don't think they were strict. I felt, and it kills me to say it, is that I thought growing up, when you're 12 years old, I thought my parents were uncool. I thought like I would get made fun of, like they would make fun of my parents and my house and my family behind my back at the middle school lockers.
Can I tell you something? I don't have one memory of somebody sleeping at my house.
I have one memory. It's when Josh Shoemaker threw up from drinking a vodka orange juice.
That's not a sleepover though. That's,
I know.
That's where I'm talking.
I know, but we were 14. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're early man-child over there.
So, I had to tell my parents, as I'm mopping up his vodka-smelling puke.
What's that?
And I cleaned it up before the next day.
What did he eat?
You want to know his excuse? He had bad crabs.
Oh, bad crabs. Oh, yeah.
Bad seafood, bad crabs.
Hey, and that plays in Pasadena.
That definitely plays. That's the number one excuse.
The old Pasadena flu.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, we hope everybody has a great weekend. Fun show here today, Valdez. We'll see you tomorrow on the Junkies. And let's hope Tiger finishes around here with a couple bogeys.
Yeah, love it.
All right, guys. Take care.